Money FM 89.3, best of drive time. In the spotlight on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good afternoon. It is drive time with Elliot Danker, Timothy Goh, and Chua Tien Tien. It's now time for In the Spotlight, where we are talking about the biotechnology scene. In fact, here in Asia, it's rapidly growing and has become a major player in the biotech industry globally. You've got countries like China, Japan, and South Korea all making significant investments in biotech research and development. In recent years, Singapore has also become a bit of a hub for biomedical startups. There's also a growing number of incubators and accelerators in the country, providing support to help biotech startups grow. So, from lab coats to the CEO of a global biotech company, that's who our next guest is. He is paving the way for disruption in Asia's biotech landscape and oncology drug space. On the line with me is Vishal Doshi, who is chairman and CEO of AUM Biosciences. Vishal, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, Elliot. How are you?
Very good, sir. From the lab coat to becoming a CEO, this is quite a journey. You've been, what, in the health tech industry for such a long time. I mean, tell us a little bit about your background. What got you into healthcare?
Yeah, absolutely, Elliot. Thank you. And first of all, good afternoon to your viewers as well. So, brilliant time to speak with you on a Friday afternoon, right? And that to a sunny afternoon after long rainy days in Singapore.
It's true.
Absolutely. All right. So, from a little bit of background about myself, I am actually a pharmacist by training, and I'm a trained medicinal chemist from London, especially in an indication called breast cancer. And the pathway that I studied was aromatase inhibitors when I was in my university days. That was actually a long, long time back. One thing is for sure, my interest level was always on how to convert good quality science into commercial success at the end of the day. When you design experiments, when you actually work on science, you work on that because you want to have a bigger impact at a global level as well, right? So that drove me to what you just exactly said, from lab coat to being on the commercial side of drug development, where I worked with three of the top five clinical research organizations, understood the nitty-gritty details of how clinical development is really done. And in 2018 is when I decided to take the plunge in the beautiful world of entrepreneurship. And that's how I started OHM Biosciences. And it's been a phenomenal journey where in the last 4 years or so, we have achieved something great in building up a portfolio of assets that improves, that has a potential to really make a big impact on reversing cancer resistance. So happy to talk to you a little bit more about it. But this is just my journey in a nutshell.
You remind me of a friend of mine who was a heart surgeon, then became a banker, and now he's in the medtech or biomedtech sort of space. Would you say that, you know, with where you're at right now, you've got to find that perfect blend of doctor and businessman?
Yes, you know, I think that's a very good point that you make. My thought process has always been that to understand the science and to make an impact on the science, you need to understand the business of it, and vice versa as well, right? So that is where, when I'm running OHM Biosciences, while I'm running OHM Biosciences, I always find it very helpful with the scientific background that I have, because on a day-to-day basis, you have to ask questions that are very critical, not only from a business standpoint, but also from a scientific standpoint. And the science actually drives the business. If I may put it very simply, in biotech, you just focus on the science and the economics follows, because it's all about the science. It's about the data. It's about the trials that you do as well, right? So that I agree with you. It's a perfect, it has to be a blend of science and business. Sometimes you wear a business hat, sometimes you wear a science hat.
And it sounds like a very difficult blend, if you ask me. Furthermore, you being in the oncology drugs space, I mean, cancer awareness is a lot more prominent, and you have your alternative treatments. I'll just put it blanket like that. What kind of challenges have you had to go through being in this particular space?
So the whole premise of us starting OHM Biosciences was, look, if you look at the Asian market, right, and this was in this when we started OHM Biosciences, the whole premise of that was around the fact that patients in Asia, there was a big disparity around how patients in Asia have access to good quality treatments as compared to the Western countries as well. Now, things are certainly improving, but they are not improving at the pace at which you would like them to improve, right?
Yeah.
So what we are doing at Om Biosciences is really trying to address that component by building a portfolio of assets and really trying to get to a stage where can we do studies at a global level, but also have an Asian angle to it right from the beginning of the development, right? I'm sure you understand there's phase zeros, phase ones, twos, and threes. So why can't we just include them right at the beginning of the early clinical development so that there is no lag at the time when we get to a phase three or a phase four? So that has clearly been a challenge that we are trying to address, and hopefully we'll be able to make an impact on an ongoing basis. So that's just one of the challenges. Of course, the other challenges remain to be seen. The funding environment always remains a challenge. As I say, my title is not CEO as Chief Executive Officer, but it's Chief Everything Officer. You have to do everything and anything, right?
You certainly sound like that kind of guy, my friend. And I guess it helps when you've got places like Singapore transforming itself. We don't have natural resources, so we're very good at making ourselves a hub for everything. That obviously plays very well into your business model. Tell me a little bit about precision oncology. What exactly are you trying to develop here?
Yeah, so the term precision oncology comes in, the way I would like to explain that is it's targeted for patients with a specific mutation or with a specific disease. Even cancer as a whole, you can use the word cancer.
Yeah.
But if you actually look into the details of cancer, Elliot, cancer has subdivisions to it. There is niche diseases built into the word cancer as well, right? So it's sometimes it's okay to develop a drug for all the different type of cancers that you have, but even, say, for example, in colorectal cancer, where we are developing OM001, there is four different types of content molecular subtypes, CMS 1, 2, 3, and 4. So precision oncology, the way you define that is you identify a pool of patients where you will get the maximum response rate and develop that according to that. Unlike what you might think that you develop a blanket drug for a blanket cancer and you might only get 5, 10% response rate versus you get a targeted patient population where you might have a chance of getting 70, 75% response rate. Just as you take an antibiotic, you wouldn't take an antibiotic or a fever medication where it tells you only 20% of your fever is going to be okay. Right?
Okay.
So think about it that way.
I'm just taking a stab at this. I'm no med student. Help me out if I get this wrong. So if I have enough education as a regular person or even as a parent, and I find out a loved one has, say, nasopharynx cancer, I don't necessarily associate that with nose cancer. And because of precision oncology, there is a chance that this can be treated in speciality and the chances of it ever relapsing is a lot lower. Would I be correct to assume that?
Yeah, so partly correct, but if I may just correct that, giving an example with one other drug we have in our portfolio, right?
Okay.
It's OM601, which is on a specific mutation called TRK mutation.
All right.
It's TRK mutation, right? So when you actually do your liquid biopsies or when you do your blood testing, your blood reports can actually give out results on whether this mutation is overexpressed or not. And if there is a chance where you can actually do some studies around it and tests around it, if you actually get that TRK mutation is overexpressed or you see a high level of TRK mutation in your body or TRK fusions, that means you are at the risk of getting that cancer. Doesn't mean you have cancer for that, right? You are at the risk of getting that. And if the cancer develops, then that's where something like an OM601 would come into picture, saying, hey, listen, we have a drug that is treating TRK mutations and TRK fusions, which is actually only 1 to 2% of the entire lung cancer population, just to give you an example for that, right? So it becomes very niche indications. It becomes niche indications. But when you actually take 10 or 20 different cancers and 1% or 2% of every cancer equates to a big population, but then you are actually treating patients with a very targeted approach where the response rates are much higher than what you might get with 5, 10% or 20% response rate in a general drug that you might get.
So it could work well with the other side of medtech where they look at the genetic indicators, which is something that's up and coming as well.
It's hand in glove, absolutely. Wow. It's a diagnostic device that you need to have to test whether you actually have the threat mutation or not.
Wow. Well, thank you very much for the free med lesson. That was really fascinating, Vishal. I do have to talk a little bit business with you. I know OHM recently had a SPAC merger. I think we're looking at a reflection of a pre-money equity value of $400 million. Tell us a little bit about this.
Yeah, so we signed a business combination agreement, which is actually public information now, with a group in the U.S. called Mountain Crest Acquisition Corp. 5. You're right, it's a pre-money equity value of $400 million. And at the time of signature of the SPAC, we had $69 million in the trust. This was actually one of the first biotech SPACs one of the very few biotech SPACs in Southeast Asia, right, if I may put it that way.
Okay.
And we felt quite positive about doing this, considering the business is at a stage where we have clinical stage assets and combination of preclinical stage assets. So where we stand at this point of time, and of course, we are bound by some SEC regulation not to disclose anything and everything,
okay,
but I can disclose with you that we are targeting we were expecting the close to happen in the near future. And what that means is we would be one of the very few biotech companies in Singapore to be publicly listed on NASDAQ, which is what I'm very passionate about, is to keep the Singapore flag raising higher and higher in the biotech field, right? So for me, this is a very exciting time for me personally, as well as exciting time for the company. And just keep a watch on OHM Biosciences.
For sure. And as things progress, we definitely want to continue to speak with you. Thanks so much for taking the time today. I've been speaking with Vishal Doshi, who is chairman and CEO of OHM Biosciences. Vishal, have a great weekend ahead.
And you, Elliot, and to all your viewers, happy Friday and have a great weekend.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO, available on Google Play or the App Store.